heard of, and I've
John?
since
Yeah.
John Hamer.
Yeah, John's great.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an unbelievable researcher. I hadn't even had any awareness of him at all. I was don't know how that one slipped me by, but yeah, he's got some amazing research.
Yeah, I'll link you his new BitChute channel as well.
Oh, please do. Yeah, I think it was his Titanic research that I came across, and I was like, oh God, not another thing that I need to strike off the list, kind of thing. Another
That's
scam.
right.
Like, Jesus. It's almost like everything, isn't it? It just comes crumbling at some point.
It's a lot in it.
So
John's
how?
good. He'll come. He's coming on next week, and he's
Oh,
always up
cool.
to chat about everything, you know.
Yeah,
But
nice.
his new book is he's just released another new book, which
I did
is
too, yeah.
I think it's, it very centers around everything that's happening, and also the transhuman agenda and 5G technology kind of stuff. He's branching out a
Gotta
lot
get
there.
hold of that. Yeah.
Yeah, he chats with a nice guy from over your way as well on their BitChute channel. So they do a
Okay.
bunch of shows
Great.
over there. 'Cause,
I'll check that out.
and I'll link it through
Nice one.
for
And how are
you.
you getting on? How's you and the family? All good?
It's all good here.
Yeah.
It's
Nice.
all
As good as it can be and all that.
We've had a string of amazing weather,
Yeah, it's
which is
starting
so
to pick up.
freezing co ice, like not very, very cold, but pitch blue
Oh,
skies, no chemtrails, no lines in the
nice.
sky, just blue, deep blue, every
Beautiful.
day, like desert weather. So that's been really nice. I managed to,
I must admit, it's been the same here, probably for the last week. Yeah, just
maybe,
clear blue skies, which is
yeah.
become a rarity, right?
Oh, jeez, maybe this time of year, I don't know. But it has been nice.
Absolutely. It makes such a difference to the outlook, the mentality.
It's
Natural vitamin D.
that's right. Yeah, actual. I
It
know.
helps.
Well, yeah, we'll discuss it a little bit
Sure.
tonight when I start. And it is weird. I mean, the climate engineering and the particle spraying, I mean, it really is been in your face now for a long time. It is obviously good to not see that film over the sky. I've documented it for years, myself, and we get heavily sprayed here around the Sydney area. Although it's good to be right on the coast. I'm only probably 10
Are
minutes walk
you
from the beach, so it blows away.
right?
Unfortunate for
Are you
people.
city? Are you city based, or
Which
are
one?
you quite rural? Are you based in the city, or are you quite rural?
No, I'm like right on the beach.
Oh, lovely,
Pretty
lovely,
much right on the coast here in Sydney,
amazing.
Northern Beaches, which is coastal Sydney going north.
So it's quite sort of sparse, is it, in terms of population, or is
It's pretty built up, but not too bad. It's
yeah,
quite
yeah,
a
yeah.
it's a there's only
Best of both
a couple
worlds.
of ways in and out of here, on the coastal. But yeah, it's there's a lot of trees and water and lakes around and things. So it's there's a
Beauty.
good lot. It's a fairly built up area. I grew up here, but obviously it's very expensive now, to
Yeah, no doubt,
for
no
people who
doubt.
want to buy houses and things. But when we grew up, it wasn't like that at all.
Yeah,
Being
yeah, yeah.
Sydney coastal anyway, but no, I'm not
Very lucky.
not in Sydney City or the western suburbs, which span out to the dividing range out in the mountains there. But
Yeah.
it's the coast is a good kind of spot. It's fairly quiet
Yeah,
around here.
that's good. That's good.
Very quiet actually. But it's it's a good spot. I've grew up on the beach, so it's hard to be away from it. And it's I like the salt. I got salty blood. Grew up
I'm on the
on
beach right now and I'm actually moving away, like literally in a week, to kind of go a bit more rural. So I'm going to be in the forests, the valleys of
Right.
Wales. So it's going to be beautiful, but it's going to be a different kind of beauty, and I'm kind of somewhat anxious about it. I'm going to miss the beach for sure, but it's a decision I've had to make, really. I'm in quite a built-up area, to be honest. Basically, the city. So, and I've always lived in the city, so I'm gagging to get away now.
To move,
Have a bit more.
is that a work move or just a personal one?
It's not. I mean, I can work remotely, so
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
as many
Oh,
people
that's
have discovered
great.
in the past 2 years. So yeah, I can work from anywhere. So yeah, I bought the house, and it's relatively cheap in today's climate. So I was quite lucky that it sort of fell into place. So I'm going to be a bit closer to family. Very rural, small community. A lot of farmers around there, food. So I'm hoping to get involved in that, and it's that sort of quest really, just to be a bit more self-sufficient. And I'm going to have to learn a lot, so it's going to be a challenge. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Is that Wales?
Yes, in Wales. So mid to North Wales, so it's actually
Right.
quite a native language area. But a lot of farmers, like everywhere, but there's sheep, so yeah, it's going to be a challenge, man, but I'm looking forward to it. It's got to be done, shake things up, get out of the city, because I've always been a city boy. Obviously it's an unnatural environment fundamentally, so I realize that now.
Yeah, no, that's always a good change. Always a good change. I'm probably, yeah, well, I'm not far from Sydney, really, especially at night when there's no traffic. Probably take me not a, half an hour to get into the centre of the city. It's right there.
Well, there's
But
something to be said for having
Sydney's
the
so,
best of both worlds.
yeah, Sydney's very, there's national parks all around it and waterways in the harbour and you can trek around Sydney Harbour. You wouldn't believe that it's there. It's but as you get out into the suburbs, it stretches on anyway. It's I always wanted to do a trip over your way because obviously our family heritage is Irish sort of Scottish
Same.
and English through my on my mother's side quite a lot, but my grandparents were very very English, so that's sort of our family line, as a lot of Australians are
Yeah, no
from that
doubt.
part of the world, the England, that sort of Wales, Scotland, a lot of Irish sort of descent. So yeah, that's where our family sort of tree goes. But I always wanted to do sort of a trip over there at some point. But all our plans got smashed, didn't it? Last couple of years, they really, really have stole 2 years from us in that way. And I can't even ever look at traveling again with just that it's here. We'd probably be looking at a move sometime as well, because things have been so hard here and the expenses are getting too high and I can't even I can't even comprehend getting on a plane at the moment because it's just we'll chat about it anyway, but there's still much there's just too much crap,
I know, I
it's
know.
still
You're probably like me. There's just an
yeah no
unwillingness to
I'm not going
compromise with
anywhere
that.
until it's all gone, I'm just not putting up with it. So
No.
but there's but
You'll have,
a lot of people are
ironically,
traveling.
you'll have. Sorry, go on.
Now, a lot of
Yeah,
people are
no.
traveling over your way. Obviously, a lot of people I know and families we see they have relatives over there in the UK. And they're all going over many times. Heaps of people coming up to the school holidays here. They're all traveling, going over. Got their jabs, and they're all off. So good on them, I guess. I guess sort of what you're doing, your routine. You're getting your feet in the ground somewhere. You're moving. And you're going to position yourself now to be in a better environment. So it will definitely what you're saying that you're going to do sounds like a good move.
Yeah, I
Especially to
think
get
so.
out rural and country and be part of all that. It's definitely. I think a lot of people are getting spooked around cities now. It's just not the place to be. I think even if you even if you get out for another couple of years just to go and then see where you are from there. But I think 100%. It's better to move away at the moment if you can. Yeah. If you've had that opportunity, go for it. Sounds pretty good.
Absolutely.
Sounds pretty
Had
good.
To be done.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. You were just talking about John there before, John Hamer. He's on the coast as well. I'm not sure what area, though.
Yeah, I remember him saying. I think he's from up north.
Yeah, he's gone to north
of England, I believe.
Jeez,
Yorkshire, mate.
Yeah, I can't imagine what's London like nowadays. It must be pretty intense, huh?
London. I mean, I don't go there, but intense is definitely the word. I mean, the house prices in London have always been off the charts. Like you've got to be earning some serious money to live in London. Otherwise, you're living in a box flat with four people, kind of thing. You know,
stack and pack.
Yeah, it's near on impossible. You've got to be earning a lot of money. I can't imagine living in London. I really can't. I mean, I did some work experience up there for a week. I nearly needed rehab after a week there. You know, it's just like the stress is off the charts. But I guess that's just the same with any real built up city, really, you know.
Yeah.
I can't handle it personally. The busyness, the stress, the smoke, the pollution, you know. It's all a bit too much for me.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah, I've lived in those environments. It's hardcore. It's full on, man.
The rat race. This is the definition of the rat race, really, isn't it? It's like, you know.
It is.
Work yourself to the bone.
Yeah, I know. I know for nothing.
For the man.
That's right. Yeah, no, it's bullshit. It's
but some people have aspirations for that, right? I think they fully know what they're doing and they're okay with it. But it's not for me, not for you, I guess, you know.
No. No, I was just
last week's more important than that.
That's right. I was just up at my folks last weekend. They're up in the country, and it was, it's just such a, it's just, it's so nice to go back to that, such a quiet, easy lifestyle, you know? It's really, really nice. Really nice.
You've got room to think, haven't you?
You really do.
Corrupted at every turn by, neon signs and, temptations and, stuff like that. It's just an opportunity to really free the mind and, focus on real simple stuff,
That is true.
And I suppose living out in rural environment is another form of a rat race, isn't it? Because you're kind of, a lot of time is spent on existence. I need wood to heat my home. I need I might need to butcher an animal to eat tonight, that kind of thing. But it's at least how things should be, and not having sort of reliance on the state for those necessities,
That's right. Yeah, indeed. That's kind of one of the subjects tonight, anyway. A little bit the food, which was.
I mean, I don't know what you want to chat about, but I know you like to just sort of have a chat, and I'm.
Yeah, that's all right. We always have enough.
Happy with that kind of vibe. So, but there's plenty of video projects that I've been working on since we last spoke, and the What's Going On Volume 6 is going up today. The Collapsing Athletes. So. Coincidentally, I think that was what was happening last time we spoke. So
that's right.
That's something that I'm going to be dropping today, actually.
Great work.
Had to be done. Had a bit of anxiety about approaching it, but nothing's changed on that front. Still happening. Yeah.
Boy. man, so much. Where am I? I'll start it now.
Yes.
I'll start it now, sure. And it is 11:40. Yeah, okay. I'll 11:14 for you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe about 12:15. Okay, well.
Sure.
Should be okay. It's easy to get up.
Sure.
Gives you your day there. Hang on.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take too much of your day, but good to, when you get settled anyway, hopefully we'll continue, yeah. You know, and when you put new videos out, always got a lot to discuss anyway. It's good to get sure. you on for the hour and just cover all the latest. No need to dig up history and worry about too much. We just cover sort of what's in front of us now, you know, and there's always, as you know, there's so much happening, so there's always plenty to talk about. Indeed, it never ends.
Have you hit record?
I'll do it now.
Okay, cool.
All right, we are plugged in and ready to rock and roll. It's Sunday the 19th of June, 2022. Time is whizzing by. You're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam, and Jay Wilderness is joining me for a chat tonight. It's great to have Jay on all the way from the UK, and we're going to chat about Jay's great work and awesome videos that he puts up on YouTube and everywhere. Our last, our first show was May the 1st. 2022, and that's unbelievable. Now we're in June. We're like nearly midway through June after our last show. Jay's going through some changes at the moment and moving things around. And so when he gets settled, he'll be back on again, just to continue, breaking down the matrix system around us and discussing everything that's happening and taking a look at all his great work and powerful videos that are going up on the channels there. Everything's up on my website, krazfiles.com. Enjoy, folks. Of course, contact me anytime through that big website. And there's always so much going up. So enjoy. And our social media links are there to, you know, Telegram and everywhere as well. Of course, up there now and some other channels as we move forward. And thanks to my members as well. You guys are awesome. You can sign up for a membership for a basic cup of coffee a month. Helps me to continue here in Sydney, Australia, greatly. Absolutely critical times that we continue. We keep the conversations rolling. We're facing a lot of censorship, as we all know, but we just plow forward. And the last podcast that we did was obviously Good Morning Clown World. I just feel like I need to keep calling the podcast that because it's just perfectly fitting for what we're facing. It really is. Every day I get up, I can't believe what I'm seeing. And also the amount of information, of course, that's going up on our channels and just being emailed through and what I see day to day. You know, I probably don't need to, but I just plug in when I'm not on with guests and I do a Night Watch podcast, which I basically just covering all the latest, bits and pieces, whether it's mainstream or alternative news, whatever is in front of me, so I can kind of break it down and give my two cents as to what I think's going on. And I find that a little bit easier rather than writing or trying to post it all because it's just so much. So any articles that interests me, I cover those. And I always encourage the listeners to send through any articles. If you want me to post them or want me to cover them on those podcasts, I can do that because it really is overwhelming 2022. And we're going to discuss this a little bit tonight about the changes we've seen from the last couple of years, for example, especially in Australia, to what we're seeing now and how different it is now. And but Jay, good to have you on again. You've been busy as a bee, that's for sure, doing your videos. You did say that on the last one. You're getting more technical now and you're going to start doing higher production and moving more out. You definitely have. I was just looking at your YouTube channel today and found a few of your latest videos that sparked my attention that I might bring up tonight just to have a laugh and talk about them anyway. But how have you been since we last chatted?
Yeah, thanks for having me on again, Adam. Oh, really good, appreciate man. To be here. I mean, I've been plodding on. Things have been busy, and every time that I think I'm gonna take a step back and concentrate on life, I seem to get, dragged back in by a topic or a video. So I keep kind of warning people, I'm quite busy at the moment. I might need a break, but these breaks never seem to materialize. But I might have a forced one soon because, as you say, I'm going to be making some big life changes soon in terms of my location and moving house. I'm going to be trekking up to Wales. I'm going to be moving up there, so it's going to be up in the wilderness, like my namesake. And a bit of a change of lifestyle, really. Something that I've been talking about for a while, so it's finally happening, and kind of, quite excited about the challenge ahead. But in terms of the videos, there's been a wide range of topics that we've been covering, and I think it's just all kind of like I consider myself like an observer, really. I'm not an expert in any particular topic, a jack of all trades and a master of none, essentially. But I'm just trying to shine a light on various things and hopefully join the dots. And that's the goal with it, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And how has it how's your day-to-day life been over there in your part of the world? What are you seeing around you with? I mean, it's a strange experience in Australia because it really is like look, waking up from a dream with what we got hit with, in the last 2 years, and now it's so different. It's all being swept under the carpet, like the
That
media and
is the
government,
most
they're
surreal.
acting like nothing happened. And I mean, I guess over in your part of the world, it's been the restrictions were lifted a fair while ago, and here was very extreme. But it is just really weird. We'll talk about some of the narratives coming out of the media, what we are seeing, and everything. But how's things in your part of the world? How is the how are the what are how are the people reacting now? Are they still masking and all of this, or spooked, or what are the media doing? Are they still pumping out the COVID narrative, or is there are there other forces at play here? What are you seeing compared to what I am?
Yeah, in terms of the people, the masks are just sort of steadily reducing day to day. You see less and less of it, to the point where, now when I do see someone wearing one, I'm kind of, I'm spooked by them. It's become somewhat unusual again to me to see someone in a mask, especially someone who's, it's very hot here right now. So you're seeing people on the beach wearing them and stuff, and that's obviously very surreal. And I can only feel some level of compassion for these people because, if you're still under this spell now, then there's clearly quite a lot of issues there. But day to day, I work full time. I work in the music sort of sector, so I think what I'm seeing and what a lot of other businesses are seeing is that we're just getting crushed, really, from all sides. The economy is in dire straits. People can't afford to move around, and food bills, and you go into the supermarket and every checkout cashier is talking to someone about how, God, that's expensive, and all that kind of stuff. So I think that the idea of the lockdown is essentially, and I think I touched on this last time, people are worried about another lockdown coming and stuff like that, justifiably so. But I think the state of the economy has the same sort of impact, essentially, where, people can't afford to move around and do things, so it kind of has the same impact. So I think the COVID narrative is not being discussed too much in the media at all over here, but it sort of underpins everything else, really, doesn't it? It's the excuse for most of what we're seeing. And the same with the Ukraine now, is that being an excuse for the economy crashing? There's always there always needs to be an excuse that takes attention away from the real perpetrators, you know. So that's at least what I'm seeing. But like you say, in terms of the UK generally, we've had it, and this is not to say that I'm grateful, but we've had it a lot easier than you guys, for example, in that normality has been there for quite some time for the most part. So in some ways that makes it even more surreal, because like you say, we're just expected to brush under the carpet that we've just had this medical experiment unleashed on half of the globe, and you know, we're kind of seeing somewhat of the impacts of that, but the rest of people are just under the spell, really. So yeah, I agree, it's very surreal.
Yeah, it's so many what we would call psyops and just distractions in 22, isn't it? You could be here all night talking about all the little things that just are incredible to me. You know, I'm looking in the news tonight, and they're saying that with what you mentioned there with Russia and Ukraine, that you know now Putin's. Isn't he, doesn't he have not long to live or something, you know? And now they're saying that he's, you know, he's making these moves that could trigger war for years. There's just it, I've never seen anything like this in my entire life, because tracking back to the last couple of years, it was just all COVID. You know, the last 2 years has just been COVID, 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 nothing else, nothing else. Absolutely nothing else. Nothing. I mean, with the lockdowns and the masks and the social distancing and Simple Simon says do this and that, it's just been absolutely incredible. Even to the point where, you know, people said, you know, where'd the annual seasonal flu go? Where are all the human illnesses and cancers and stuff people suffer from? Just nothing existed in that bubble of the last 2 years, or more for us than you guys. But it's just all been this relentless propaganda campaign about COVID and getting needles in arms. That's all we have heard about. It has just been so unbelievable. And I've made, you know, and it got incredible last year at points. I mean, when they locked down, they pretty much nearly locked down all of Australia. I mean, it was like a rolling blackout, and it just went from cities. They were locking down cities. You know, they locked down Perth in Western Australia for one case. Supposedly, some 20-something-year-old, you know, guy that was working in a kitchen or something like that, you know. Supposedly had COVID, and then they didn't know who he was, and they weren't sure. But they locked down a city of 2 million people for one case that wasn't even a case, and this is what they were doing. And then there was a stage there where almost all of Australia was locked down. And if you turned on the TV, it was just COVID, 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 COVID. And you walk outside, COVID, COVID, COVID. You know, you get in your car, turn the engine on, and it's like COVID, COVID out of the radio. You walk down the street, buses have got COVID. You know, it was like waking up in the Twilight Zone. And it was just this relentless hammer blows of propaganda, which was Operation COVID Shield to get people inoculated quickly. And that's what it was, and I knew that's what was happening. So I, you know, when you're aware, you can see through it and better survive, and it's just unbelievable. And then towards last year, how they kind of start taking all away, and now it's there's nothing there, you know. They're taking out all the restrictions, even in Melbourne, I hear now, and Victoria, which has been the worst place in Australia, they're taking it all back. And now you're not hearing about COVID anymore. Now they're talking about just the flu's back again. And I'm wondering, there's a lot of levels here, I know, so we'll just go through it slowly. I'm just wondering if you've been seeing the same thing, because now they basically came out the other week in Queensland and said, well, we're going to see an increase of 50% increase in cancer, up to
I
like
did see that.
2035 or 2030. Yeah, how do they know that? And now they've got the monkeypox, and now they've got shingles, which we were talking about a lot, about all these weird shingles ads on TV. And I was saying, a while ago. I'm just waiting for them to throw measles in. Well, boom, we just got that recently. Now there's measles outbreaks in New South Wales and Victoria. So they're throwing all these, and they brought back AIDS, and they were talking about AIDS again. And they're throwing back all these old illnesses and, you know, things into the propaganda soup now, when last year it was all just COVID. Right. And so are you getting the narrative over there where they're basically the media on the TV and in the newspapers and everything are telling people that you're going to get sick now within the next few? That's basically what they're saying to us here, that even if you're young, you should get your heart checked because you can expect to get heart problems and heart palpitations and heart attacks. And there's all these ads on TV now for it and everything. So now suddenly it's gone from just last year, everything about COVID, and now everyone's going to get every single disease and cancer in the book for absolutely no reason. Yeah, and no one's looking at the massive elephant in the room, the inoculation that went into their arms in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
No one's talking about
it. Yeah, the elephant in the room, absolutely. That's the big one, yeah.
No one seems to know.
The connection, are they? Yeah, and I mean, it's still... These journalists are still under the same spell and the same level of pressure, you know, same as the nurses. You know, you say anything and you're gone. We'll cancel you. You know, you will destroy your career. I think it's the same sort of pressure on these journalists, isn't it? They've got to toe the line. And so, you know, there's been articles in, there was one in The Guardian, I think, a couple of days ago where the headline was, you know, in 2022, everyone is ill. And it feels like the medieval times. And I clicked on this article and did, you know, control F, you know, to search, and just searched for the vaccines in this article, and there was no results. And I mean, even within their narrative, that should be unusual, because like you say, we've had something which is determined to be experimental and under clinical trial, rolled out to 50% of the globe, yet no one at all is even questioning the idea that, well, maybe this clinical trial didn't go well, you know, didn't go as expected, you know, because that should be a legitimate concern or a legitimate question. You know, there's just this idea that it was a roaring success, you know, and, you know, don't even question it. No, it's just crazy. So yeah, the media is the same over here. The flu's back, you know, you need to worry about this, that and the other. You might drop dead from a heart attack, even if you're a teenager, you know, all that stuff is doing rounds. I think the British Heart Foundation, which is supposed to be a UK charity, focusing on heart attacks, ran an advert, which you might have seen, a good few months ago now, which depicted a teenage girl collapsing on a football pitch, you know, supposedly from a heart attack. So you can argue that there's a concerted effort to normalise this idea of perfectly healthy teenagers just dropping to the floor from heart attacks. So, yeah, very sinister stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm hearing it too. I'm hearing it personally, with friends and others who are telling me that relatives and people they know of are just dropping dead, like just dropping dead at it. And there's, you know, like it is. I know it's weird, but I've been, you know, liking that to sort of a serial killer in everyone's bloodstream. You know, it's just crazy. You had a lot of people having terrible reactions and things, but a lot of people are just going on with their lives now, and they're quite happy. They had their jabs, and suddenly they're dropping. You know, it's still happening to celebrities, as you're documenting. You've got a new one coming out. You noted on the sports thing. It hasn't stopped. And it's really crazy. It was actually, I don't know if we talked about it last time, was brought up here in Australia, in South Australia, with the AFL on live television. I don't know if you saw it. Yeah, how was that? And then they came and, you know, just basically bullshitted.
Walked it all back.
Walked it all back and blamed anti-vaxxers. it was unbelievable. So with the networks not liking that at all, but
no,
it's getting extreme. Now the thing is, with Australia and particularly New Zealand really stuffed up because this tyrant, Ardern, this dictator,
yeah.
Whatever some people think that's a transvestite, I tend to agree. I don't like this creature at all, but she or he, whatever it is, really, really, you know, locked that country of New Zealand down brutally, airtight. They really forced those jabs onto everyone. But you've got a very small population there. You don't have a big population like you guys have, or the US does, or other countries do. And so you've got a very small population on an island there who were pushed into getting these jabs. A lot of people didn't want them, and they got them. And then as the injuries mount and the deaths mount, how can you hide that? And that's kind of what we're seeing in Australia. We've got, 25.5 million people. They're telling us that, 95% have had a jab, which puts me in the 5%, which is weird, but I don't trust their stats, but that's what they're saying. And but you're seeing a lot of injuries. It's too kind of in your face to hide them. Whereas other countries like the US, a lot of people don't want the jabs, so you've got millions who don't want it. It's bigger. But here in these countries, Australia's a big country, but you don't have a big population, and when they force it so much, then you start to see people see their friends, relatives getting sick. Everyone's saying that. I know a lot of people who just haven't been well since the jabs, and they just can't get over it. And this is translating with people that I know personally, and people who are getting heart issues now and stuff. And so we didn't see that so much before, but now it's starting to really show. And so as that happens, the distractions and the propaganda start to pop up so much. We got wars, and we've got shootings in the US. We've got everything on the table, don't we? As you put up the Johnny Depp saga, and there's so much distractions to get people looking over here, and not at what was done to them, and I just find it amazing, Just kind of driving around the other day, and they're getting people to go on cruises and holidays. Holidays are back. They're giving everybody's old life back now. Here's your life back. You can take it back, and the distractions are overwhelming. But those injuries and deaths are very, very serious. And I think that, I personally think that it has to boil over here. And not just with everyone around, but I think, as you mentioned, the frontline healthcare workers, doctors, nurses, people, nurses working in retirement homes and stuff like that, they're obviously seeing it. And I'm wondering when this point is going to just blow and people are going to come out and say something, because it's just creepy at the moment. Yeah. Everyone's just sitting on their hands, but it's, as we said before, it's the elephant in the room. I mean, seriously? We don't know why people are dropping dead and having heart attacks and all of this. So now they're covering it up with all this shingles and all these lies on TV and the newspapers. That is insane to me that people can't put one and one together to make two and say, well, it's obviously the jabs. I think a lot are, but I'm waiting for boiling points, because I think the injuries are gonna become too overwhelming to ignore.
Yeah, to be honest. I think the biggest one that I've noticed, and like you say, I'm seeing the same thing, especially reports from family members who think the same as me, who live in, small communities, because it's sort of easier to see that around you when you kind of know everyone in a community. But yeah, I'm hearing a lot of the same things, people who just fundamentally haven't felt the same since they had it. And the biggest one seems to be people reporting things, like brain fog and fatigue and stuff like that. And I guess you could argue that the lockdowns themselves have caused an element of that. But yeah, I'm absolutely seeing the same thing.
That's weird you mentioned that, the brain fog, because I heard that I've heard that in the media as well. They're starting to mention it.
Right.
Oh, people have just got brain fog now.
It's really prevalent. Yeah,
I heard that actually. Yeah. I've heard of young people starting to lose their eyesight.
Wow.
Hearing, all sorts of things, but brain fog as well. Yeah.
But like we say, I mean, we've kind of like we've both said, we're seeing that from the media. So the media are constantly making excuses for why you might see this kind of thing. And you know, for those that engage with that stuff, then they're always going to be referring to that. Or there was the study that came out that essentially linked COVID itself to an increase in potential heart attacks. So people will refer to the virus itself over the past 2 years as having a prolonged impact rather than the medical solution, which can't possibly be to blame, despite the fact that it's, you know, arguably unnatural and experimental by their own definition. So it's very strange. And I think, you know, obviously they started marketing the boosters with this new campaign where they would compare the waning effect of these boosters, i.e. you need them semi-regularly to keep topped up. You see, they use the advertising in comparison to a battery that's running out of power. You probably saw that. And so within that narrative, you could also ask the question, well, why aren't more people questioning it on the basis that they're already telling you that the supposed effectiveness of this booster wanes over time? So you could argue, you know, why aren't they asking the question, you know, am I experiencing the waning effects of this booster no longer working kind of thing? You know, I'm thinking within their narrative now. It's unusual, you know. So you might see the opposite effect where people are screaming for more boosters because they're not feeling very well. You know, they're going to try and, you know, normalize the idea of having very regular vaccinations as if that underpins the health of the person. You know, you could see how that would be an advantageous situation for pharmaceutical companies, that people feel as though they're essentially completely reliant on them in order to be healthy.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's what it's going to create.
It's like the shift to the subscription model, basically, that all the conspiracy theorists, as we're called, you know, stated from the beginning. You know, it's not just going to be one shot. It's going to be multiple shots over time. And I think that was one of the things that came out of the recent World Economic Forum, and Albert Bourla, the Pfizer CEO and former vet, who said, you know, we're developing a vaccine or a booster that will be administrated every 6 months or may last up to a year. So, you know, this, it's not going away. You know, they're carrying on with this booster program. And it was only a couple of days ago that Fauci went head to head with that Rand Paul senator in America, because they've just emergency authorized boosters for children aged 5 and above. And Rand Paul, basically, I'm not hailing Rand Paul as a hero, because he's essentially, you know, still operating within the vaccine solution territory. But, you know, he did basically establish that there are literally no studies which justify the issuance of these boosters to children. You know, because Fauci couldn't answer the question. He couldn't state that there was any justification for the rollout. So it's all out there in the open. And I think, to be fair, that, you know, there aren't probably many parents at this point, this far down the line, who are gonna be giving those to their children. I can't imagine it. There are obviously gonna be some, but I can't imagine it being prevalent, because we're just too far down the road now. You know, people aren't as afraid as they were. But the problem comes, I guess, is when it's basically added to the vaccine schedule and then it's expected that children have to take them, and that impacts whether they can have an education and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, it's yeah. I do know in Australia the boosters are not going down at all. So I think
Same here.
people have had their two, and I mean, you know, and it was just incredible. I mean, in Victoria, the dictator there, Daniel Andrews, basically just threatened people that you had to have two. Say, for example, teachers. Teachers had to have two jabs to keep their jobs, so thousands of teachers left. And then those teachers who did stay, they got their jabs and continued working. And then he turned around and said, "You have to have a third one, or you're out of job." So thousands left. You know, so there's a massive problem there. And I think they're going to get to the point now where they're going to get everybody to go back to work after letting them all go. It's just insane. I think there won't be any choice because there will be a kind of a jobs boom in Australia. But if you look at how many people, it's just crazy. I mean, in the one hand here, they're trying to tell you that the government's taking away all the restrictions. But at the same time, it's like a casino card trick because they're allowing companies to dictate themselves. So, you know, the government's saying we're washing our hands with it. You don't have to be vaccinated to have a job. You can go back, but it's up to the companies, you know, whether they want to allow that or not. So, of course, some of the banks and Qantas Airlines and Coles and Woolworths supermarkets, they're saying that, you know, Bunnings Warehouse, there's these big traders in Australia, they're saying they're going to continue with the vaccine mandates for their workers, you know, so they haven't taken it away.
No.
Obviously, you know, I would assume that most industries do take it away, but still it's giving them too much power and leaving it in their hands. But it's just created a mess,
This
absolute
is that
mess.
sort of public-private partnership that Klaus Schwab and the WEF talk about as well, isn't it? It's this collaboration between government and corporations, which some would argue is like the definition of fascism, and an interesting one to look at is obviously with the Pride Week that we're looking at now, where if you look at every major corporation social media profile, they've changed their logo to the rainbow, across the board. I posted something on my Instagram, just someone had put all the logos together and showed that they'd all in harmony changed their logos to these rainbow flags, essentially. And it's worth looking at something called an ESG rating. Don't know whether you've heard of that, but it's big involvement from BlackRock, who, arguably behind the scenes have a stake in all these major corporations. And the ESG rating is essentially setting standards that companies need to follow in order to maintain a good ESG rating, which, grants you at the end of the day a better stock price or something like that, because BlackRock will continue, investing in you, I guess. So I think that's something to look out for, that you have these big corporations behind the scenes like BlackRock, who own half the world essentially in terms of assets, who are setting the standards that businesses and large corporations need to follow. So, you need to be working towards certain climate goals or sustainable goals, otherwise your ESG score is going to be affected. So, companies have arms of the company that are looking at that and working on that and trying to, get an effective ESG score. And if that involves changing your logo to a rainbow flag, then that's what they're going to do. So I guess I said that because it ties back to the idea of these mandates that occur at these big corporations. It's not necessarily being dictated by the company themselves. It comes from a higher source.
Yeah, that's right. It's well, you mentioned the World Economic Forum meeting. You mentioned Albert Bourla,
Yes.
the Jewish CEO of Pfizer. There was a video of him having an open discussion with Klaus Schwab about reducing the world's population by 50%, and the jabs doing their job basically. You just can't believe what you're seeing. I
That was
mean,
actually
that would be enough to show anybody, any fence sitter.
Yeah, I have to say though that that was a clip that was I don't want to sound like the fact checkers, but that was taken out of context. So they cut it off at the point. They basically edited the clip because I'm currently working on a compilation covering a lot of the Davos talks, like what came out of the meetings,
What
and I
was
have
said, yeah.
the full video of that, and someone has tried to fool everyone with that, and it was quite unfortunate because in that same talk they were talking about the conspiracy theorists, taking their stuff out of context, and that was the clip that did the rounds from that
Maybe it was done on
conference. So
purpose.
it was absolutely done on purpose. Yeah, they had to have known what they were doing to have put that out. And that's not to say that I'm defending them and saying, that could arguably be part of their goal. But yeah,
Depopulation.
the clip itself though wasn't what was said. So sorry, I just wanted to make that clear because it was really doing the rounds that, and it kind of sidetracked everyone from what was really going on there.
And well, they were also talking about being attacked by anti-vaxxers and all of this. But yeah, one thing I've seen very strongly from this and around the place and here in Australia as well, and New Zealand and elsewhere, is it looks like they're gearing up to almost try to criminalize people for voicing their concerns and opinions. There was just a current meeting in Victoria, Parliament, where they're actually highlighting Telegram. And they don't know if you got that. I can send you through the articles. And we discussed it on a previous podcast. They're basically saying that Telegram is harboring hate speech and extremists and all this kind of stuff. So they don't like that people in such large numbers have moved from Facebook and these platforms over to Telegram, and they're labeling all of us extremists now, and that something basically needs to be done,
No
because they're
doubt.
lying about the vaccines, they're lying about everything, and this is hate speech, and we can't have that anymore. And I've seen this kind of same sort of system come out of other countries as well, and I think they've definitely been gearing up to squash independent thought in some way. I don't know what kind of move they're going to make, or if they'll even be able to do it. But in this way, the internet itself has become, it's such a double-edged sword. It's just there's so much information moving so quickly. So even these meetings over there and these secretive meetings they're having, everything, they're getting so exposed, and we're getting information and access to information so much faster now. So it's obviously something that they need to be, it needs to be stopped. And they're basically saying that questioning the jabs and pushing out, lies about people having injuries or dying is hate speech. So it was very interesting to me that they targeted Telegram. And I'm wondering where they're going to go here.
It was from the beginning, Telegram was such a great resource, wasn't it? To kind of almost like the old days of the internet, where you could go into a chat room and talk to people that you didn't know before, and there was a bit of a gap in the market for that. And I think a lot of people have discovered a lot of information through Telegram. I know I did. It's changed a bit now because I think it's just very spammy, isn't it? And a lot of cryptocurrency spammers and stuff like that. So it's changed quite a lot. But that's, I guess that's one effective strategy that the powers that be use, isn't it? They infiltrate certain communities and try and break them apart and that kind of thing. So you see a bit of that. I have to deal with quite a lot of spam on my own Telegram channel. So that is one of the strategies they use, isn't it? But I suppose the bigger picture in terms of the internet and the usage is the digital ID that they talk about, because obviously eventually they're talking about issuing each individual who accesses the internet with an ID that's tied to them. So anything you say on the internet is directly attributed back to you, and then everything you say and do is recorded. So if you engage in a bit of wrongthink, then you might be in trouble, kind of thing.
That's right. Wait, but that's going to cause a massive splinter effect, you know? Mm. I can't see them being able to control this. It's just too big, unless something happens with our power or whatever. But it's it really is, the main, it's one of the main concerns here for this system, because they really, really can't stand it. I mean, it's just defies belief when you look at what the mainstream media are allowed to get away with, how they can just get up there and lie in our faces, but then we just have some conversations going and websites and groups and things like that, and put out info that just... the system itself just absolutely can't stand it. So if we're all conspiracy theorists and tinfoil hat nutters, then what are you worried about? Let us talk.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's just amazing how quick you get zapped now. It really is. They're really censoring much. I keep Telegram because it's it's a good chat, and everyone's free to chat in there. And I haven't seen anything too weird other than the spam you mentioned, but that's stopped.
You've got a channel yourself, have you?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay. I'll have to join up. I wasn't aware of that, yeah.
I'll just I'll link you the link there to sign up, because I'm on yours. And everyone's chatting away, and that's our right. It's just so paranoid. I mean, it's just insane that even in Victoria and Australia, they're even tabling laws to control what you're allowed to grow in your own garden and being able to come in and test your soil and everything. So Big Brother really wants to reach into your head, doesn't it? And I always say that Big Brother itself is like a paranoid pervert. Wants to perv on everything that we do. And, in that way as well, I've said this before, but people create private groups and things on Facebook, they lock themselves away. But I never did that. I always make everything that I do public. Our discussion's open. Anyone can join in there. The website's open. And because I don't feel like that I or we have anything to hide. Everything that you're putting out and saying, I agree with. And that's your right, and that's my right to watch it. And if we post stuff on Telegram, or you and I are chatting here about what we feel is important, and we believe that it's the truth, then that's up to ours. That's up to us as taxpaying citizens. Why should we have to go and hide when the media can get up there and lie 24/7 and be put up on a pedestal, but we have to run away and hide because we're alternative media? No. I'll get up here and chat till I'm blue in the face, because what I'm putting out is the truth, and that's what I believe in, and I'm not going to hide away or feel like I'm doing anything wrong,
No, absolutely. Yeah, you go mad, right? I mean, I like the format that you've got here. It's kind of, we didn't arrange any specific topics before we chatted, right?
No, we just go.
Let's jump on and have a conversation. And
that's right.
Really cool. And I think people generally, are kind of starved of that. That kind of thing, I could say something really stupid now, and you probably won't edit it or whatever. You just stick it up, and that's how it should be. And people just want to hear free flowing conversations. And even though people like Joe Rogan aren't to be heralded or whatever, the reason that show is probably so popular is because it's long form conversation, and that's not something that's really embraced within the mainstream, right? It's just sort of sound bites, and you know, we'll cover this for 30 seconds and then cut to an advert for a new designer injection or something. So it's kind of, yeah, people are starved of conversations and asking questions and thinking out loud. I'm really into listening to debates at the moment. There's quite a few channels out there that have people on to debate certain topics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then there are some that approach it from this kind of gotcha kind of thing where they're trying to win a debate, and I hate that. But there are a lot that are just, you know, very reasoned and moderated, and you know, they're trying to ask good questions, and I love that stuff, you know. And I'm kind of having fun with that on a personal level when I talk to my friends. I've gone past the era of maybe 10 years ago where I would be kind of, you know, the archetypal tinfoil hat who would be screaming at the sky going, why aren't you noticing these trails in the sky and all this kind of stuff. But you know, you kind of change tact in the end and mature a little bit and kind of ask questions within the context of things you know about related to geoengineering, rather than screaming about the concept, you know, making it sound crazy, you know, just asking good questions and trying to make other people think and use their brains. And I think that's why the sort of what's going on video series, you know, the collapsing athletes, where it's not me creating a video where I'm screaming about look what the vaccines are doing and stuff. It's open-ended, and it just asks the question. And that's, to me, that's the way that you reach a large audience, by, you know, being slightly ambiguous but asking a legitimate question and then encouraging people to use their brain. And that's the approach with the videos in general. I think there is obviously some bias, and I have my own opinion, which forms the basis of a lot of the videos, but usually it's just evidence-based or an investigation, and I provide sources to everything on a Hive blog, so people can hopefully look into things further. And I'm more than happy for people to come at me and say, you know, you got that wrong, or I think this, have you looked into this? And you know, we're just on a journey of information gathering, so I'm not perfect, nor am I an expert.
That's right. Yeah, I agree. Looking at what do we got, our last 15 or so.
Sure.
You're just to switch topics a little bit here into one of your latest videos, which just interests me, that's all, because I was watching it, was the Johnny Depp trial, and you've put up a video clip on this. Isn't this really interesting? And I also like the Naomi...
Naomi Campbell. Yeah.
Yeah, what a lunatic. I wonder if that's just all staged, or this person is absolutely that insane to go out like that in all the dress up and stuff. It's crazy, but the connections there, obviously being a model and everything, that was a really interesting one. So you got a bunch up, but the Johnny Depp and the demons and the Illuminati symbolism and his connections with Marilyn Manson, it was really interesting, wasn't it? This whole trial, because you couldn't, it was being force fed through YouTube and everywhere, so it's hard to not click on it. And everyone's watching the this nasty war battle going on in the courtrooms over there, and who's going to win. And it was amazing going on, and it was thousands and thousands and thousands of comments supporting Johnny Depp.
Yeah,
you know, and not Amber Heard and everything, but the whole thing in itself is a distraction, 100%. Just like the the fake war. I mean, have a look at the so-called war in Ukraine, and you've got Boris Johnson again for the second time going over there to meet the guy, the president in Ukraine, shake his hand. Who goes into the middle of a ghastly war zone to have a meeting and a cup of tea? I mean, come on, folks. So Boris has gone over there again, the middle of supposedly Russia bombing the hell out of this country right. to have a little bit of a meeting. So, you know, of course, it's all about fear, and fear controls. It keeps us bogged down. It keeps us under mind control. When we're in a fear state, we can't live our lives, and we can't, definitely can't proceed in, you know, and be who we need to be. So, you know, fear controls and propaganda distracts. And there's been a lot of this in 2022. And this has been, you know, a big one as well. The entertainment side of things. Yes, the war and there's shootings and psyops and things going on left, right and center. They're going to distract you away from what they did to us, what they did to the masses of the world. They injected them. They scared them about something that wasn't there, and you took a needle, and now they're going to distract you away, as, you know, so you're not thinking about that. And this was a big one. And it's really interesting looking at this little video. It's not a long one, on Johnny Depp. This guy's a complete wacko. And what was amazing as well, I liken this to, and it probably seems a bit off center, but there was a Netflix series where Zac Efron was playing Ted Bundy, the American serial killer. And so this Ted Bundy case, this is the mass murderer, supposedly. We're going to look into this in podcast with Johnny Cerucci about the mind control behind this. But the case was broadcast like this on national television, and he actually represented himself. And in the courtroom, they were talking about these disgusting and vile things that he did to young women. And there's young women in the audience, and they're turning up to watch him because he's like on TV. And the way that they televised and glamorized and, you know, turned this thing into like a Hollywood production where you've got a serial killer is murdering and raping and butchering these women. And it was like this fun thing because it was on TV. And when I was watching some of the Depp stuff and reading the formula from it, some of the things that he was saying about her, that he was going to do to her. And then people were saying, oh, that's just some things that you think as a guy, you know, sometimes you just think, oh, you know, going to be brutally just do this and that to that girl and stuff, but you don't act on it. But, you know, it just creates trauma in the public as well. But people are watching this like it's some kind of Johnny Depp movie, and they're showing Pirates of the Caribbean and everything. And then they're showing this, you know, what he was saying about her, like some of the things he wanted to burn her and all this and mutilate her, you know, and have sex with her corpse and all this stuff that's coming out in this court case. And young kids are watching this. And so it's fear and trauma. We know that. But the whole thing as a distraction itself, what's your thoughts on this case? It's silly to bring it up. I know the reason I bring it up and I guess the same way you did the video is because it's distracting everyone away from what was done to us in such a cunning way. But you look at the whole production, it's just absolute theater, isn't it? But your ties in that you put in there quickly, to Manson and stuff and the, you know, the whole, devil worshipping is really interesting. This guy's out of his head.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought it up because
important, isn't it?
And also in the context of what we're talking about as well with the, you know, the whole COVID thing, because the comparison I made with Johnny Depp was that it's the same kind of mind control that's happening with the COVID narrative. Is that, you know, if you pay enough money for a PR campaign, you can gather all these people around this individual. And, you know, that's kind of what was going on, is that Johnny Depp just out-muscled her in terms of money and in respect of how much he can fund a PR campaign for to, you know, have all these bots working for him behind the scenes and, you know, changing opinion through the media. So you just had these kind of dribbling nutcases outside the court with banners for him and all that kind of stuff, potentially oblivious to the fact that he'd already been confirmed as a wife beater in a UK court, you know, years earlier. So I don't think that was really up for debate. He'd already been established as someone who was beating her. And this is not to say that, she isn't, that they aren't as bad as each other, essentially. We're just dealing with Hollywood nutcases, essentially. But yeah, that was why I was kind of drawn to it. And I was embarrassed to be one of those people who was keeping track of it and watching some of the trial. But yeah, I was already kind of aware of some of these connections with debt, so it was an ideal opportunity to put something together. And the biggest one that I was aware of was his role in having this chap called Damien Eccles, who was a convicted child killer, part of the West Memphis 3 case from the early 90s. He was involved in a massive PR campaign to get that guy released from jail, despite being convicted of murdering three teen, young boys. He had no idea whether they were guilty or innocent, but it turns out that this Damien Eccles chap was heavily into the occult. Aleister Crowley, for example, was brought up in the trial as something that he was, interested in and very well versed in the occult. And he's continued with that interest since being released from jail, and shares tattoos with Depp, and Depp shares tattoos with Marilyn Manson, who's got a trial himself coming up soon, apparently, with some saying that Marilyn Manson is going to be hiring the same PR team that Depp used for his trial to cover up the already established darkness that goes on behind the scenes. So, yeah, I just thought it was super interesting just to see people completely wig out over this topic and feel like they need to pick a side, and without being sort of well versed on the topic at all. So.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? That's what I was saying. You read the comments on there on YouTube, but it was just people just Johnny, like Johnny's this great guy, Johnny's this great actor. Kind of like a sticking up for the men, that he's being wrongly accused of something, and it's entrapment, and his career's being ruined, and poor Johnny's going to run out of money now, and we all love Johnny, and there was nothing mentioned here. And then you watch a video like this, the extreme satanic occultism going on. You mentioned the ninth gate, some of those films, but extreme cult-like stuff going on with Depp, all the images with the one eye, covering the face and everything, and the circles and the Freemason sort of stuff. These people are either extremely sick, or probably I would say just under mind control. These clips, Manson, all these clips, Lady Gaga, all this stuff with the black goo and the blood pouring out everywhere, and all this stuff and all this sexual stuff. I mean, it's bestiality and pornographic kind of satanic material, but none of this kind of gets a mention. With this, he's Mr. Good. But some of the clips that you put in there, there's one where he's talking with an Indian guy. He's off his tree. There's also clips came out of him in Australia where he's off his banana, and he's absolutely he's on God knows how many meds and alcohol, and then just stuff to suppress all the shit that's going wrong with him. And it's just amazing, isn't it? Because you clearly ask yourself, why would they televise something like this on YouTube and pump it out to the world anyway? Who would really care about it? I mean, if they're gonna have that, why don't they just do it behind closed doors and separate, and they've got enough money anyway? But it really is, I think the lines between reality and fiction are so blurred now with most people, because they're so used to watching Johnny Depp in movies, and then they think they're watching this real thing because it's a court case, but the whole thing is just theater to me, designed to steer people's attention away from what's really going on underneath and behind us and all around us. And this is just another way to do it. But it really, we are in such bizarre times when you watch something like that. And it's interesting that it piqued your attention and enough to make a video. Because a few weeks back, before, or a little while back before you made the video, I was watch. As I said, I was watching on YouTube, and I was thinking, "This is so weird. Like, what? Because this guy's not right. Like, why are they portraying it like this?" It's just so strange. And
there
as I
was
said,
so much bias towards Depp, even, you know, the
that's
Fox
right.
News and the Law and Crime Network or whatever that were airing it. It was all biased towards him, and it made no sense, other than that this effective PR campaign was working very well, you know. And like I say, you can compare that to the impact of the COVID PR campaign that's inflicted mass fear.
Yeah.
It's the same concept, isn't it?
It would be incredibly obvious to me that Hollywood and actors, that they're all under some kind of mind control. It just seems to me from birth.
Yeah,
you know,
even
very
in
young
as
age.
Much as they all seem to have very kind of strange upbringings, or, you know, a lot of kind of trauma in their childhood, which...
That's right.
Yeah, and then they're kind of picked up and put in this position. So it could, you know, that childhood trauma, you know, makes them easier to mold without even the necessity for, you know, active mind control. It's this trauma from a young age makes children malleable, doesn't it?
That's right. It's all very obvious that looking at Hollywood and all of this, and the movie and music, but particularly the music industry, going way back, that there's something very sinister going on here, and it goes far deeper than any of us would imagine. You know, I'll link you some of Dave McGowan's work. I'm not sure if you're onto him.
I'm a big fan.
Dave's great. Dark Scenes Inside Laurel Canyon. You know,
I'm actually rereading that.
Isn't
right
that
now.
Amazing?
It's an unbelievable book. It blows your head off.
That blew my mind. Dave actually goes into the serial killers, like I mentioned, Bundy and all these, that it could
Programs
be like a...
Kill. Yeah.
Yeah, what was he, Charles Manson and stuff, that it was all CIA operations and things. Maybe contract people doing it, and it wasn't actually them, but he did a lot of great work. But very interesting anyway, just looking at with the entertainment and music industry, The Doors, Jim Morrison, all that, what he goes into... I spoke to Dave. I was going to do a podcast with him when he was
getting
his chemo done. Yeah. And we had such a bad connection. We said that we would do it at another time, and he passed. But I did speak to him over a bad connection a little bit, and it was cutting out on us, and maybe that was something else, but such a nice, genuine guy, and he was going to talk to me about that book, and it was like the highlight of the podcast, you know, and it didn't work for me, and he passed away.
But
such a genuine fellow. And I know his website is still being looked after by family, and they're keeping it all going, his research
his
papers, fantastic work. And it just makes you think, geez, you know, all of history's been manufactured.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's like I was saying to the pre-show with the John Hamer research with the Titanic that I'd recently come across. And, you know, everything you thought was true is obliterated.
It's not.
Absolutely, yeah. I would recommend a guy called William Ramsey if you're interested in talking to someone about the Dave McGowan style topic.
Right.
And he goes into the occult. He's written a few books on Aleister Crowley and the occult, and this idea that Crowley has kind of had an impact in shaping the society we now see, and, you know, celebrity culture and that kind of thing. He's a great researcher. I would recommend maybe tapping him up for a chat to go more into those topics. And he was on an interview with Dave McGowan back in the day as well.
Mm.
So he's been around for a long time. But yeah, I know what you're saying about the debt thing. Like I say, I was somewhat embarrassed to be participating in it. And I got accused from a few people of trying to, you know, do a video to generate views, but that they were kind of missing the point that if I wanted to generate views, then I would have been bashing Amber Heard, because that was what people wanted to see, and that was what generated the views. So I was taking a different stance on that topic.
That's right. If we wanted more listeners and more people plugging into these podcasts, we would be promoting the jabs.
Exactly.
I think looking at your channel, most people are getting it. They're saying that this is a massive, big distraction, and we're living in an insane asylum, and all this, looking at the comments. So people are getting that it is a distraction, but that is important to point out because a lot of people aren't seeing it. They got caught up in this as sort of boy versus girl and marriage splitting up and everything. They've had documentaries on TV here with the violins, and they're really promoting it because it is in itself a distraction away from what they did in the last 2 years, which I'll never forget. Not in my country, not what they did to us. No, 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 no. I'll never, ever, for as long as I live, forgive or forget what these people and the police did ever. They're not getting off my bad books. No way I ever forgive or forget what they've done to us in 2 years in this country. The lockdowns, the criminality, just everything, insanity. What was done is insane.
Yeah,
And,
no, respect to you for that because,
no.
I think a lot of alt media have, even the alt media have kind of moved on to Ukraine and, it's down to people to keep driving this message home, Like you say, never forgive, never forget.
That's right. How fast people are distracted anyway, I mean, it's just kind of crazy, what has been done to humanity, and then just throw in a war and a couple of psyops and a bit of distraction and a Hollywood breakup, and they're all distracted again. Everyone's got their lives back. We forgot. No. Not a chance. And so we must be aware of these things, all of it. That's why I study the mainstream media. I watch all the shows. I take notes. It's painful, but I do, and I look at it. And as I said, I got funny about this one a while ago. I thought, why is everyone watching this? It's obviously a massive distraction, but it's good to clinically break it down a little bit, and show the true meaning behind here, who these people really are. That it's not what you think. You're being distracted away. And I covered this on one of my Night Watch shows. A lady wrote a very interesting article on Edward Bernays. It was him on how he got the culture smoking anyway back in the day, and how he popularized it. And it was in LinkedIn or something. And it was a woman just she wrote a quick kind of very really well researched article on it. I was covering it because I just found it fascinating. How, in the 50s they got it, the women in particular to smoke as a status thing. So, they would puff away. It was like made them higher in society, everything like that. And then you kind of realized at the end of the day that it wasn't even about the cigarettes. That had nothing to do with it. It was about getting millions of people or whatever in society to act in a certain way through propaganda being fed to them through, TV and newspapers and stuff, to get them to think that they were something bigger by using this product, And that was a sociological experiment that he did. And, that's just one of many, but he got all these people smoking and thinking in a certain way. And that it was a status thing, as I said, and that's you can apply that to a million and one things on how they do it, how they pump propaganda out into society, and people take that up and they believe different things, So I think it's always good to cut through the center, like you've done there on that video, to show who these monsters really are. They're not normal, man. These people are not normal. They're satanic. These are dark people, and this is ritualistic kind of satanic stuff, material being displayed, while people are thinking it's this kind of Hollywood sort of built up drama, and we'll just follow along. It isn't, but that's the distraction. And once you're aware of how they distract you, you can kind of start to look through all of this and start to make your own mind up on what you're really seeing, because it's very, very cunning and manipulative. And so I think those sort of little videos you do are really interesting. You've done a few lately, and it's really good to see them, because there's with the Naomi Wolf, Naomi,
Campbell.
Campbell, sorry, Woof, I don't worry. Yeah, that one, being a model and being very young when she came into the industry and now tying up with Epstein.
Yeah.
And all the pedophiles. See, this is that was an interesting one as well. So there's a lot going on behind the scenes. The grooming, there's so much there, isn't there? I don't know how you're able to keep your videos kind of short and to the point, because I get the feeling you just want to go on all day. Like, you know, an hour long, but to make them short and sweet, it gets more viewers in.
Yeah, I think it's like people's attention spans are quite short, and I think people are overworked and stressed, and it's just I guess it's like creating intrigue as well. Like, I don't go for the clickbait titles. I can't handle that, but. Yeah, I try to pique people's interest because I want to encourage people to look into stuff for themselves, because I just don't think there's enough kind of research now amongst people. But again, that comes back to the time that they've got, you know. I'm just trying to do an overview of a topic and then encourage people to dig a bit deeper, ask questions. But just to say that the next episode of What's Going On is going up today, actually, as we're recording on Sunday. So that's going to be the sixth episode of the collapsing athletes phenomenon, which unfortunately hasn't subsided. It's still going on, shockingly. So, that's going to be going up today.
Crikey.
The
attention's gone a bit off that as well, but you're still recording it. It's still going on.
Yeah, I'm like 2 months behind, and so it's supposed to be every month, but it's kind of I get kind of anxious when I'm looking at it all, to be honest. It's not nice to delve into, but just to say that it's still going on, it's still as prevalent. The ages are getting younger, which makes sense, and in the way that the rollout of this thing was staggered amongst age groups. So it's still very prevalent, unfortunately. So we'll keep shining a light on that.
Absolutely. Those are powerful and much needed, videos for people to see. I posted the ones that you did do in one article piece. So I'll add that in
appreciate that
article. Yeah, so they're all in there. You want to, before we plug out tonight, you want to mention your where people can log on and see your work? Catch up?
Sure. So the name is J Wilderness. You can find me on most channels, YouTube, BitChute, Odyssey. I've recently joined Rockfin, ROKFIN, which is quite a cool platform. I post a few extra things on Rockfin, so it's worth following me on there. Twitter, Gildenus, there's a linktree.com/JWilderness. You can find all the links there. Yeah.
That's good. Absolutely. Your new one is Rockfin, isn't it? As well.
Rockfin,
How's that going?
Good, actually, yeah. It was one of my short-term goals was to get on there because they've done a good job at like curating kind of some pretty decent independent journalists and that kind of thing, and they seem to have a model where they're bemoaning YouTube and how they treat people, which is totally legit, obviously, and I think it's a good platform, and it opens up opportunities for me to do stuff like live streams and podcasts and that kind of thing. So hopefully it just future proofs things a little bit from the censorship side.
Yeah, it helps, doesn't it?
I'd recommend checking out Rockfin.
You're also over on Brighteon.
I'm
on there as well, so I've just liked your channel there. Your videos are doing well on Brighteon. That's good. I like the layout there. It's a nice platform to use. Post away what you want, and the more views you get, they give you more space, which is nice as well. So yeah, I've been on there for a while now, and it's gone nice. I like it.
Cool. Yeah, I've always been from the school of thought of just getting it up everywhere that you can.
Yeah, that's right. Use it
Just,
or lose it.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, and just not being reliant on any one platform, So, yeah.
Yeah, you've got
Yeah,
heaps. You're on heaps. Yeah,
it's quite a lot of work, to be honest, to get
putting
it
them
all
all
up
up on
there.
those. Yeah,
Yeah, but I've got a fast internet connection and I
it's
just
good.
sit back, upload, off we go,
Well,
So.
once you've made them, you just need to upload, you know, once you've got the file ready. Yeah, that's good stuff. Anything you want to finish on?
Not I think we've covered a lot. I appreciate you having me on again. I mean, I know I came on last time and yeah, I was secretly hoping that maybe you'd ask me back because I don't do this kind of thing very often. So it's good to have a little rant and get stuff off my chest now and then. So yeah, it's much appreciated. And once I'm settled in my new home in Wales, then yeah, we should hook up again and have a chat.
Absolutely. When you get settled, when you get settled, we'll do it monthly if you're around.
Sure.
Hook in each month at the end of each month, and if not, the one after, if you're busy or whatever.
Yeah,
And
sure.
we'll catch up with all the latest in your videos because you're putting out more than enough to cover, for
Yeah,
sure.
nice.
So when are you making the move? When's your move
In
day?
1 week. 1 week.
Next week? All right.
Yeah. So I need to pack. I haven't done any
Basically
packing.
next weekend.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So big changes ahead. It's got to be done. Get out of the city, become a bit more self-sufficient. That's the goal.
Yes, certainly. And you're driving out?
Yeah,
What?
I'm going to be hiring a van.
Yeah,
It's
that's.
about it's yeah, it's about 4 hours from where I am currently, so
Yeah, right. Not too bad.
it's a decent track, but yeah. Where I am now, it's on the shore, it's near the beach, so it's going to be hard to give that up, but I'm sort of giving it up for a more forest kind of hills and valleys type environment,
Yeah,
so
it's always nice.
different kind of beauty.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You can always visit anyway. You
Exactly.
can
Yeah.
always visit, but
Exactly.
yeah, much. That's beautiful. Being in the country, it's really nice. It's really nice. It'll be a great change. And if you're able to continue doing your work from home, that makes a huge difference. That having that flexibility, you know. Where you're not locked down anywhere, going to somewhere, you can do it from home. That makes things a lot easier. So you're taking your work with you as well, which is good.
Exactly. And I'll continue with the video stuff and probably hopefully have even more time for it. So it'd be nice to ramp things up and do a few extra things, a few like commentary videos, which I've not really done before, just to quickly cover certain stories that I'm interested in and stuff like that. So yeah, hopefully we'll keep going with it and ramp things up.
Absolutely awesome, awesome man. And I'll put all your links in. It's good here on your YouTube channel. You've added in all your social links, which makes it easier for me to copy and paste into the podcast description. Yeah, and I'll put your latest one up as well. All right, man.
Appreciate that.
Great to chat with you on the podcast tonight, and I'll shoot you an email in a week or in a couple of weeks, and let us know you settled.
Nice one. Yeah,
I'll
thanks again. Much appreciated.
yeah, absolutely, and then we'll organize another show once you're hooked up and settled in your new country home.
Sure.
It's Yeah, that'll be nice. And take care. Hope you have a good move.
Thank
And
you.
yeah, it's always a big thing. I know it's an emotional thing. It's a big thing to pack up and move and do everything. It's one of those things. It's one of those things, isn't it? You know, it's a really nice thing to do to move. You can't stay in the one place for the rest of your life. You always
No.
got to move around, try new things, and it
Shake
might
things
turn
up
out
a bit.
really great.
I'm confident.
Yes, absolutely. All right, good stuff, buddy. Good stuff.
Nice one, Adam.
And have a good day. Take care of yourself. And I'll check in a couple of weeks, see how you're going.
Nice one,
man. And I'll shoot this through for you as well via email.
Nice one. Thanks very much, Adam. Take care.
All
Talk to you soon.
Okay, see you, buddy.